What do you want to be when you grow up? We were inviting Jessica from the Pioneers to join us back on the show. It's been nearly 2 years since we had her on, and we were going to discuss this exact topic. Then my son graduated preschool and it all got real. Welcome to the ultimate crowdsourced personal finance show. This is Choose FI.
You're listening to Choose FI Radio. The blueprint for financial independence lives here. If you're looking to unlock the secrets to financial independence and early retirement, you're in the right place. Stay tuned and join a community of like-minded people who are getting off the hamster wheel and taking control of their lives in the pursuit of financial independence. Choose FI, your home for financial independence online.
All right, guys, very excited to dive into this week's episode and help me with this. I have my co-host Brad here with me today. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, Jonathan, I am doing quite well. Man, you just piqued my interest there with that intro. That's the cliffhanger of all cliffhangers. But first, let's talk about Jessica. So she was on episode 229 with her husband, Corey, and we got to learn about their story, about their intro to the FI community, about managing stress by leveraging FI. And it was a really great conversation. And we talked a lot about SlowFi and CoastFi and all of these things about building a life that you want to live into. And that's actually what we brought Jessica back on to talk about 2 years on, as she's learned more about herself and her life, and she's worked with people in the FI community. And with that, Jessica, welcome back to Choose FI.
Thanks so much for having me.
Jessica, what I loved about the episode, when we talked with you, it was episode 229, choosefi.com/229 for people that want to hear that. There was a lot of transitions that had happened. It was this idea that you had reluctantly been coerced into looking into this path to financial independence. And you can kind of give us some of those big takeaways, but I don't think it was the spreadsheets for you. And maybe you can catch us up. You know, what's kind of happened since then? And where are you guys finding yourselves now?
Yeah. So a lot has happened in the last 2 years. So actually, right around the time that I was on the podcast 2 years ago, I was starting a coaching business on the side of the blog, just as a like fun thing to do. Maybe it would let me semi-retire someday. Who knows? 9 months later, it allowed me to quit my job and actually become an entrepreneur. I say full-time, but I don't ever actually work full-time hours. So I've been building that up as a sort of fully self-employed person for the last year and a half. And then actually in 2018, when we first started on the FI path, we articulated a goal of becoming location independent. And there's a post that we wrote where it's so clear that we thought we had to reach financial independence in order to do that. But over time, we've realized we can transition into that lifestyle a lot earlier. And we recently took a big step toward that and recently actually just finished our camper van build. And it's ready to hit the road in the next couple of weeks.
Nice. The camper van lifestyle. So location independence, where would location independence take you first?
Yeah. So technically, I am fully location independent. My husband is still working full time, but he has a ton of flexibility. So this summer, we're actually planning on taking a 3-week road trip up to Maritime Canada. And then we're going to plan some like long weekend trips and start experimenting with working from the road as well.
That's very cool. So with Corey's flexibility there, is that in terms of, okay, we're going to take 3 weeks off? Or is this, hey, we're going to take 3 months and he can work from home? Like, is it that kind of flexibility? And if so, how do you broach that subject? How would he broach that subject with the management if he has already?
Yeah, good question. So we're taking the 3 weeks fully off with vacation time. And then actually next year, it's very likely that he will get a 3-month sabbatical paid from work, which is super exciting. So that's one thing that could actually keep him working for another year in his job, even though I'm ready.
I try to get out, but I keep pulling back.
I'm so ready for him to take the leap to be an entrepreneur as well, but he's not quite ready for that. But his flexibility right now is his office only goes in once a week and he has flexibility to not go every week. So we would be able to take a couple weeks here or there, and he just needs to like put in a little bit of FaceTime throughout.
You know, I think this concept of it's not binary, right? It's not you're either Phi or you're not Phi. Rather, you're unlocking incremental freedom and flexibility with every single day that you make an intentional choice to align your purchasing decisions, to align your actions with your values. And in light of this conversation, going back to this title episode, what do you want to be when you grow up? My son just graduated preschool. And the hook there is that the teachers were very, and you know, in a funny way, went to all the kids and asked them, what do you want to be when you grow up? And they collected those answers and they shared them with us, you know, the parents that went to the preschool graduation. And it was just an awesome experience to see. And at the same point, like, there was a lesson embedded in there, which I'd love to talk with you guys about and just dive in, because I think it's something that as adults, we're still grappling with. So here it is. The kids are lined up. There's 40 kids. We're getting 40 kids' answers of what do they want to be when they grow up. There were only two or three that committed to saying, it's just too big of a choice. I'm not ready to make that decision. Everybody else, like, they knew. And there were a couple princesses in there and you know, a couple smattering, but there was like a string of eight kids back to back to back that just said, I want to be a doctor. I want to be a doctor. But like eight kids in a row, I want to be a doctor. And that's great if you want to be a doctor. But the sheer progression of eight in a row, like this was it. And I was like, you know what? They're probably going to be a doctor. All of them. Like that's it. And they have actually locked in their profession, their actual profession in preschool. In preschool, that decision has been made. I was really curious to see what my son was going to say. Like, I don't know. Like, we haven't talked about careers. We haven't talked about professions. Like, they didn't tell us and we didn't get a chance to prep him. He said he wanted to be a cowboy. I don't think we've ever watched anything that has a cowboy in it. And I don't even think, I mean, we asked him because I don't think he even knows what a cowboy is at the point of this conversation. So he's like, Zach, do you know what a cowboy, like, I mean, that's great. If you want to be a cowboy, that's awesome. Do you know what a cowboy does? Like, no, what does a cowboy do? I was like, well, you know, they're going to get on the road for a couple months at a time and they're going to probably wrangle cattle. And, you know, and Zachary says, I'm going to have to be away from home for a couple of months and leave you and mommy. Yeah, he's very distraught. He's like, can I change my answer? And I was like, dude, you can do whatever you want, man. You can be whatever you want. And I was like, Zachary, you like to draw? You want to be a drawer? I can draw for, I was like, you want to be an artist? You want to be a cartoon? You want to do that? You can do that. He's like, can I change? I was like, yeah, you're going, your last day of school is on this Friday. You can go tell your teacher that you want to be a drawer. I was like, oh, okay, good. This kid actually believes that whatever he picks right now is a decision that he's locked into for the next 40. Like he was so, I guarantee you, he ran into the preschool class, ran in and changed his answer to drawer, professional drawer. Like that's it. And he was so relieved, we pat him on the back. But I mean, the key is like, at this age, you can do anything. You can be anything. You can do whatever you want. But like, isn't there something profound there that decision is being locked in? The child hasn't even made it to first grade and the decision is locked in.
Yeah, Jonathan, wow. That is both funny, depressing, interesting, all rolled into one. Yeah, I wonder, you know, like you said about the doctors, the string of doctors, and how much of that is just societally programmed in us. Maybe some of those people want to do good in the world, and obviously doctors do great things, but how much of that is because their parents said they make a lot of money, right? Or doctor, lawyer. What are the couple professions you always hear?
I'm going to be an architect.
Yeah. That's fascinating. And yeah, what do you want to be when you grow up? I mean, I think this is something a lot of us are still grappling with. And even I'm 42. I'm not 100% sure. I know. And I find that both really, I just find that liberating, that like you can always change your mind. You can always be growing and learning and trying new things and figuring out what you like, what you don't like. Maybe there are things that in different seasons of your life you want to spend time on. And Jessica, this is what I'm so curious to hear, both your opinion and maybe things you've heard from some of the coaching clients you've worked with, in terms of, you said, hey, I'm looking at Phi in terms of how do I design a life I want to live into? And Jonathan's cute, funny, interesting anecdote here, it is the perfect encapsulation of like, you don't have to be stuck. Certainly not from when you're 4 years old, but not when you're 42 years old. And yeah, I just love to hear your thoughts on this.
I think it's a really interesting example of how people, how kids, even at such a young age, are internalizing and listening to all of the shoulds. Like, you should do this. You should make more money. You should do a career that's high status, right? It's like all of these things have already been internalized by so many of these kids that these are the things that are going to continue to take us along our path. And I know for me and a lot of the people that I worked with, that's a huge part of designing your life and figuring out what you truly want is to figure out what is a should, what is a thing that somebody told me that I should do that is an external expectation versus what is the thing that I actually want? What do I really actually love to do? And what are my core motivations? What really lights me up? And how can I do this all in a way that actually feels good? Like, I think of Jonathan, your son's story of saying, like, I want to be a cowboy. That sounds cool. I think a lot of times people don't actually think about the reality of, like, how is this thing going to feel to me? And how I feel is actually probably the most important thing in terms of what I'm doing. Like, how do I feel about it? Whereas your son was like, I don't want to do that. I'm going to have to be away from you. But people don't tend to think about that. When they're talking to kids and young people and college students, it's always about you should do this. This is the responsible thing, rather than how do you want your life to feel?
When kid number 9 stood up and said he wanted to be a dinosaur scientist, all of us stood up and cheered. Everybody cheered. Like, yes. Yes. But going back to that, this, what do you want to be versus how are you going to put food on the table? How they are not one in the same. I think that identity piece is the trap. We get our identity, our sense of being, in some cases, our sense of self-worth from what it is that we do. And that's fundamentally different than what do we want to be. And what I've noticed is that people in the financial independence community disproportionately are able to create some space between how they earn an income and what do they want to be, where for the vast majority of society, they are one in the same. Find someone that's found a way to align their time and their actions with what they want to be when they grow up. And it's just, it's awesome. It is an awesome thing to see.
Yeah, Jonathan, I hear you. And there's such an interesting interplay. And actually, Jessica, this brings up your own story that you told us last time, right on episode 229, about, okay, I have 10 more years, but it's in a job that I hate, or not, if not hate, then that is not serving me anymore. And I think a lot of people in the audience, there's such a spectrum here. And this is what I'd love for the three of us to almost roundtable in that, okay, you have a path to FI, and some people do grin and bear it and stick it out for whatever those number of years, because then on the other side, there's 50 years of freedom. And I can understand that perspective. Then there's some people who try to get to a coast FI number when then they just need to earn enough income to cover their expenses, right? And maybe then you can find a job that you like a little bit more or a whole lot more. Then there's another, we could spitball a whole bunch of options, right? Like, there's the, I want to align completely from today and I'm on this path to FI and this is how it is manifesting for me. There are all these different options and they're all equally valid, right? Like, for anybody who makes their decision, if they're doing it with eyes wide open, I don't begrudge anybody's decision, but we all have different ways of looking at this. And then obviously you can get stuck in the one more year syndrome, which is maybe the worst case scenario possibly, but I can also understand that from someone personally like myself who's anxious, prone to anxiety, and always looking to be conservative with money. Like, I get that also. So I want to leave this wide open because I'd love to hear your thoughts on the interplay of all these things and identity, which Jonathan is crucially saying.
Yeah, I definitely think that in general, in our society, people tie up their identities with their careers. And there's a lot of research that's been done on this where, you know, we assumed that that sort of people would end up working less, but that work has become more of an identity production now than actually like physical good production. And that it's like taken the place in many people's lives of religion and their communities. It's pretty wild. And I guess for me, what I think about here is like the case was the same for me. So that was a huge reason why in, you know, the first 10 years of my career, I was so miserable. I had tied up my identity in my career. It was all focused on how can I climb the corporate ladder, be more successful, get the next promotion, make more money, be in a better financial position, all of those things, but not about who do I want to be? Like, I hear the question of like, what do you want to be? Great. But like, what kind of person do you want to be? Who do I want to be? I want to be a person who loves my life and inspires other people to be able to love their life too. I want to be the kind of person who values my health and my wellness, right? I want to be the kind of person who invests in my relationships. I want to be the kind of person who makes an impact in my small corner of the world in a way that makes me feel energized and engaged in what I'm doing. And I could do that in a whole variety of different ways. Like, it's not one thing that I will end up doing. Over time, I will take steps that will allow me to become more of these things that I want to be, but it's so much less about what do I want to do? Because that's going to change. It's going to change throughout our whole entire lives. And like, it makes me really sad to now hear like when people ask the questions to kids, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? Right? Because it just reinforces this toxic work-based identity culture that people feel like they need to buy into.
You know, I think it's one of those questions that is not inherently bad at all, but the way society has framed it, it is very loaded. It is very loaded. I looked at it as actually what an opportunity, what a gift to like reframe it at such a young age, realizing, I mean, I wouldn't have been able to have that conversation to say, you have the freedom to do whatever you want and be whoever you want to be and have it. This is a critical conversation, a critical conversation. If there's a societal funnel that has been in place for decades, you can break it early and change the frame, change the conversation, look outside of that. You know, I think even the artist is such an interesting one because I'm well aware of the stereotype that says, you know, you could be a starving artist or you could be a successful whatever, you know, something else. And like, I think it's important to even at this point with these early comments to reject that. It's not that you're wanting to wish your son or daughter, your child into a low paying quote unquote career, but it's different. It's not the same thing. We're going to be fiscally irresponsible. And yes, we're going to do things to massively increase our savings. And we may even get a career that's not one to one, but that's not what do you want to be? I wouldn't have had the chance to explore that. And so one of the reasons I think it's so fantastic that we're talking with you about this is if you were to go back to early days of, you know, financial independence, it was a reflexive reaction to the anemic savings rates that were told to us by generic personal finance were good. You're like, hey, if you can save 5%, that's probably pretty good. If you save 10%, you're crushing it and you're going to be able to retire comfortably at 55 and you have early retirement extreme coming in with like 90% savings rate. You have Mr. Money Mustache saying, hey, 50 plus, it's a secret to life. You have mad scientists saying, all right, so, you know, what are, you have these icons that are coming in and nailing it. And look, it's just a function of savings rate. Savings rate, time to FI. And slowly over time, you saw a few of these individuals rounding off the additional content in terms of like, oh, there's also all these lifestyle benefits along the way. But I think in general, we had this, hey, years to financial independence. And over the last several years, I think we've seen an increasing emphasis on those lifestyle benefits that you get just within a few short months of being on the journey. And I think there was a point and time where we started to see new terms start to really soak into most people's awareness, I guess it's called inception, where people were now starting to generally discuss things like slow-fi. And I'm not sure if you coined this, but I believe it was a phrase like coast-fi that we saw pop up as well. And I'll give you a chance just to, you know, define those terms for people, because I think it really sets us up to explore this further and allows us to say, you don't need to pick between career and success and identity. Those are not mutually exclusive terms.
Hey, this is Andrew from the ChooseFI team. Hope you're enjoying the show. We're going to get right back to it after these quick messages.
So SLOWFI, I would say, is a philosophy. So it's similar to something like slow living or slow food, right? Or just in general, the slow movement, where you're focused on getting to FI at an intentional pace that works for you. And you're designing your life along that journey, right? So under that umbrella, then you have different kinds of stages of financial freedom, different lifestyle design options. So you have debt freedom, which can reduce your expenses and allow you to have other options like taking a job that you would enjoy more, even if it pays less, or quitting a time-consuming gig economy side hustle that you're not getting a lot out of, right? Or the sort of next stage would be having your FU money and being able to take a break from work if you need to, or take a sabbatical or a mini retirement, or quit your job to start freelancing to build up a new business. And then there's coast financial independence, and that's the point at which you've already saved enough for traditional retirement that if you leave it, right, if you don't touch it for the next however many years until the age of 60 or 65, it will grow to provide you with what you need. And that number is surprisingly a lot lower than many people would expect. I think for someone who spends $50,000 a year, who's 35 years old, they would need to have less than $300,000 saved and invested, and that will grow to provide them with $1.25 million by the age of 65. $300,000 is still a lot of money, but it's nowhere near the amount of money that it will grow to. And then that CoastFi then gives you so many more options, because at that point, you could say, I'm just going to scale back and only cover my actual costs of living. So if you can go from a 50% savings rate to a 0% savings rate, if you want, that gives you so many options to scale back work, to do seasonal work, to do, you know, only freelance or consulting, and to really build the lifestyle that you want long before reaching financial independence.
Yeah, that's fantastic. This, to me, CoastFi is one of the most interesting concepts that the FI community has come up with in the last handful of years. So I'm glad we're talking about this. And this is kind of back of the envelope calculation, but if you use that rule of 72, which we've talked about, right? So in essence, you just take the number 72 and divide it by the expected growth of your net worth or your investable assets, right? So we'll say 8% is generally what we use. Obviously, there's no guarantee of 8% per year, but we just say over a long term. So you would divide 72 by 8, and then you get the answer is 9. And what that means is every 9 years, your money would double. Okay. So again, anybody at home can work out the numbers for themselves based on, okay, I spend X amount of dollars per year. I have this much in net worth, and I would expect it to double every 9 years, right? So for that person you said who had 300,000, it would double to 600,000 in 9 years. Now that number again would double. And that's the beautiful thing of compounding, right? So it would double from 600 to 1.2 million in 18 years. And then it keeps going, obviously, right? So you've got 2.4 million in 27 years. This is the beautiful thing about compounding. And I would imagine, Jessica, that CoastFi, I know you described it as, okay, that's enough to coast to when you want to retire at a traditional retirement age of a 65, but you could make that retirement age whenever you want. It could still be an early retirement and you're just coasting into that number. Is that right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So for my husband and I, we originally thought about, okay, we're happy to be CoastFi, but we would like our CoastFi date to be like 50 or 55 so that we can coast until that point, you know, and we are to the point that we can do that. So we could save 0 to 20% of our income for the next 15 to 20 years and still reach financial independence in our early to mid 50s. And I think that's also an important thing to know is that once you reach Coastify, you don't have to scale back completely. Like you get to choose different ways, right? So you get to choose from different options. So one of those options is you can continue to save. And now you know that every dollar you're saving is for an early retirement, right? Not your traditional retirement. And so it can give you that sort of extra motivation or to sort of reduce that date to say 50 or an earlier age than 65. The other option is you can scale back completely and only cover your actual costs, or you can take a path that's somewhere in the middle, which is what we're doing, is saying, okay, we're Coastify. We're going to use that to give us a feeling of freedom to be able to start making some of those larger changes in our lives, like dropping hours at work and building out a camper van and quitting my job to become self-employed, right? All of those things. And I think most times, for most people that I have seen make significant changes, people assume that it's going to have a lot more impact on their finances than it actually has. So like, I think we in general assume, oh, this is going to have a really like huge impact on my finances, or my savings rate's going to go way down, or different things like that. But then it doesn't actually. So for us, you know, we assumed that my decision to take a 50% pay cut would increase our FI timeline by 3 years. But we ended up finding out that it just reduced our spending triggers for things like convenience and, you know, convenience foods and needing to travel on peak days, and gave us more time to like search for deals, that we ended up keeping our savings rate about the same because we were just spending a lot less. And then I think some people will assume that, oh, if I transition to running my own business or freelancing, like I'm going to make less and I need to plan for that. When in actuality, often people tend to end up making more money in less time.
And to be clear, I mean, it's perfectly appropriate to plan for making less. That's yeah. Nothing wrong with that. That's a true. Great strategy. It's just surprising how quickly, when you're allowing yourself to explore your interest, you can skill to a point where you become a quote unquote armchair expert, just because there's very few people that have found the time to reskill. You know, like the people just don't do that. They follow these narrow tracks. If you give yourself a year to dedicate, even 6 months to dedicate to a skill, whatever that is, it is incredible how quickly you are in the top 20 or 10%, which, I mean, that may sound like a tiny number, but that's all you really need to be better than the rest of the world. I'll give that back to you, but I just wanted, I think it's worth pointing out. It's incredible how quickly you can scale up when your interests align with what you want to actually do without the fear of how am I going to keep the lights on?
Yeah, absolutely. Right. And so I think it is really important to make sure that we build up the emergency savings and our investments to get to the point where we have that feeling of freedom that allows us to be able to move forward and do work and things that like make us really excited and engaged and happy, because that's when I've seen that people actually tend to be more successful. It's when they don't have the pressure of, I need to make money today, and so I'm going to make some short-term decisions about what I'm going to do in my business or my, you know, my freelancing work. If people have the freedom to have that runway and make more strategic choices, they tend to be more successful more quickly, and it ends up not impacting their FI timeline as much as they would think that it would.
Yeah, I love that. So the feeling of freedom, what a critical thing you just said, right? That feeling of freedom, because it's not about the facts on the ground. It's so much of it is in our head, right? And you're saying when people feel that freedom, then they take action and they take long-term actions, right? They make long-term decisions because they're not coming from that lizard brain, scarcity, the sky's going to fall. They're thinking long-term because they've looked at this. They know the math. They understand it. They understand how many options they have. They have that feeling of freedom. And even just little things like you're saying, like the camper van, That jumps out to me. And you and Corey may have tested this. You guys may have been on 50 different trips already. And I'm picking on you, obviously, because I'm talking to you right now. But I think this is so illustrative of how great Fi is, in that you might find, hey, we think camper van life is going to be great. And you might set out on your first road trip, and 30 days in, you might realize, hey, this isn't what we want. Who do I want to be, as you said? Like, what do I want my life to look like? What makes me happy? It's not set in stone, like Jonathan's son being a cowboy. It's never set in stone. And that's what's so beautiful about it. We can always change our minds. Your mind is always going to change. If it's not, you're stuck, right? So like, I think if you came back 2 years from now and said, hey, we tried the camper van life and we hated it, that's not a failure. That's part of life. And that's one of the beautiful things about having that freedom. So I think that is super cool. And I'm curious, like, are there other things you're testing?
Yeah, great question. So we definitely did test out the camper van.
Nice.
by renting one. I would say some other things that, so we will be testing a lot related to that. So do we actually enjoy working from the road? And is it possible? Is that something that we want to do on a more regular basis? In my business, I'm testing a number of different things. So always testing like different kinds of programs. And I'm considering doing a like live in-person retreat sometime in 2023. So sort of testing out that by like going to different retreats and hosting. I hosted some virtual retreats for some of my clients over the last year. And so sort of building up to that place where it feels like, yeah, this is the right logical next step, you know, rather than feeling like it's taking like one big scary leap. Like I definitely prefer the experimentation approach. And when I work with clients, it's always, let's see. Like, let's figure out what's the mini experiment and then what's the slightly larger experiment. And then the slightly larger one that helps you learn, is this what I want? Does this align with who I want to be? Do I want to do more of this? And then it builds your confidence too to take that next step.
So in terms of working with people and starting to see, I guess, you know, you're having these conversations, and at some point, you know, as this starts to get real, like someone that's taking the time to have a conversation, they really want to take that first step, whatever that first step may be. They want to move in a particular direction. And then the reason that it won't work comes up. The reason that maybe you're having the conversation comes up. You could say it's a limiting belief, but maybe it's the fear, you know, that's riding on the back of this dream, and they want to just, you know, have someone listen to that. What is the, when someone's taking the time to hop on a call or to, you know, really schedule this session, what are those fear points that come up in conversation?
Yeah. So let me talk through an example here because I think that will be helpful. So I've had one client that I've worked with over the last year, and he came in saying like, sometime in the next 5 years, I want to be able to take summers off because my wife works in a school. And she has summers off, so I want to match her schedule. And I would love to figure out how I could be self-employed sometime in the next 5 years. And I'm like, okay, that's absolutely something that can happen. And probably you could take this summer off. Like, let's figure out how to make that happen. And so he was able to say, okay, how much money do I actually need to take the summer off? What's the runway? How can I actually negotiate that with my employer? Do I need to be ready to quit if they don't allow me to do that? And I was like, I don't think that's going to happen if you're actually good at your job, right? And so then he was able to actually then 6 months later take the full summer off, but then use that as a way to experiment with self-employment too, right? So he had the summer off from his traditional job, did about 10 hours a week of experimental work of like the kind of stuff that he would want to do, like contracts and videos and different things in the industry that he was in. So for him, a big fear going into that summer was like, is this going to set my career back? Like, is this the responsible thing to do? Am I not being a team player, right? All of those different things. And so we sort of just worked through each one of those fears one by one to then figure out, okay, no, this is probably not going to set your career back. It might actually enhance it. Like, who cares if you're not being a team player? Everyone deserves to like take some time off every once in a while. And like, people take 3 months off for parental leaves all the time. And it's no big deal, usually. And so we worked through those things. And then for him, you know, there was also the, is this responsible? Am I going to lose money? Am I going to spend more kind of thing? And so he saved up a huge runway and then didn't need to use any of it because he made like enough money doing his 5 to 10 hours a week of work to cover his expenses for the summer. Right. So that's an example of someone who's like, oh, I have to like really prepare financially, which he did, which then gave him the feeling of freedom to be able to do the stuff he wanted to do, but then ended up not needing to use the runway anyway.
Right. And I want to say like the alternate strategy to this more creative approach is just one more year, just the one more year syndrome, no matter how far into your career you are, it's just, I'll just do one more year because you never gave yourself the freedom and the flexibility to unlock this decade sooner. It's a thought experiment followed by small actions. Think about that. The possibilities are endless.
Yeah. So then this particular client then, so goes back to work. You know, he was planning to take the leap to self-employment sometime in the following year because his experiments were going well and was, you know, had a whole list of ways that he could make money. And then a couple months later is like, oh, finds out baby number three is on the way. And it's like, oh, well, I should take the safe, responsible path, stay in the job. Okay, now I'm thinking like I'll get the summer off by doing a parental leave and then I'll come back and then figure out this whole self-employment thing later. And then, you know, worked through that and was like, no, like I can actually generate the income that I need doing these things. Like I don't always have to take the responsible path and to say, I need to stay in the job that's going to have the super good benefits to do like all of the things that you should do when you have a perfectly viable path that's going to cover all of your expenses, allow you to save, and give you a lot more of the lifestyle that you want. And he knew that this was a viable path because he had experimented with it and was already generating income from some of these side things and then building up his own income streams doing projects that he really loved doing, which ultimately the goal is to focus on running the businesses that really bring him joy and energy and just filling it in with freelance work if needed. But ultimately, he actually decided to quit his job in May of this year rather than take the summer off using the FMLA leave. But he is, and he's actually saved the runway and is doing minimal work for the summer, even though he's self-employed, and put more of full-time hours into the business come fall when the kids and family go back to school. And I think these are the kinds of things that like these limiting beliefs never go away. We always have them. Like I still have them, you know, where I'm like, oh, is this thing going to work out? This is not the responsible decision. And I think the most important thing that I've seen in my life and that I think I've seen with clients and friends is that we need to have a community of people who, when these limiting beliefs come up, we can go to them and say, hey, I'm struggling with this particular thing. Like, I'd love to like just talk through it because I know that it's a lizard brain thing coming up and I just need like someone who with an external perspective to be able to help me work through like what is actually the truth in this situation.
Yeah, it's so interesting, right? How the community can help so dramatically, but also what I'm hearing is like we need to be compassionate to ourselves. It's so easy to beat ourselves up, to even with this particular person you're talking about, like how conservative he was in terms of like needing the runway and needing to feel secure, even though he didn't ultimately need it. That doesn't mean it was a bad decision to do that, right? Because that was that quote, feeling of freedom, right? So you have to know yourself. And that is a constantly evolving thing. But again, and believe me, I am as hard on myself or historically have been as anyone. So this has been hard for me to come around to, but that compassion to myself for what I see as like, idiosyncrasies or like a weakness or being stupid or being whatever, you know, all these ridiculous words that I just use that I used to say to myself. But that's what's cool about this is, as you said, it's not about the shoulds. We can experiment along the way. And that's what I was getting at with your camper van thing. And that's what this guy was doing with the 3 months off. And then, hey, I can experiment with trying to start my own business. I can see how it works. I can see how little do I actually have to spend. Like, once you get that feeling of freedom and you take those little actions, as you're saying, like, it's amazing how this all, it all just seems to work out in some sense, because you wind up making a little more, you wind up spending a little less. And again, those experiments make a huge difference. So it's so cool to hear you talk through somebody who is literally going through this as we speak.
Yeah. And I think the experimentation too, it helps you answer those questions and it helps you learn and it helps you adjust and all of those things. And then it also gives you the confidence to take the next step. And I think that like that confidence piece is key in moving toward the life that you want, right? I don't like thinking of it as I need to like gear myself up to take a big scary leap. I don't think we need to do that. I think it's okay and in fact good to take those small steps and then take the next bigger step and see what unfolds and see where it goes as long as we're heading in an intentional direction. That is the way that I want to figure out what I want to do when I grow up, is by taking those one intentional step and then figuring out how I want to adjust based on what I learn from that particular step.
I got to say, in my own family, I have a couple of personal examples that I can recall that to me, I just like, you know, I got siblings that are just, they're aligning their lives around this philosophy and not be necessarily because any particular conversation that I'm having with them, but it's cool to see my brother Andrew graduated with a degree in biology, ended up making very, very little income inside of a biology lab doing mindless PCR type things where you fill up one test tube and then another times 1,000 and run these tests and the data goes somewhere and gets lost to the void. And there was no like there, the people would always come in from the outside to get the raises. They would never promote from within. So it was kind of a, you know, just it's the job that he got after getting the biology degree. And if he wanted the really cool jobs, he's not going to have to go back and get the master's, right? How many of us have been that? We get our bachelor and they're like, well, you know, the really good jobs, those are the ones that need the master's degree. Anyways, I convinced him to go rogue and take on some freelancing. But what's been very interesting is that I have watched him break away that identity statement. I've watched that fork in the road and he separates now, what do I do for a living from what do I want to be when I grow up? And they're going in two very, very different directions. You know, what do I want to do? He thinks about, well, what do I want to be? Which is basically a Renaissance man, whatever that means now. I mean, it's just like a person of random and miscellaneous skills that aligns their time with those things. And I've seen him do everything from work on a community garden to, rebuild a motorcycle. I don't know if he ever got the thing running, to try to apply for an internship at a, you know, local organic farm up here in Virginia to, I'll give you the most recent example just in a second here. But I had told him about a skill-based career path, which we talked about on the show a while back. And he went, he took a look down. He's like, I don't know if it's for me. He came back relatively recently and told me that he's actually going through the program. And he's like, I don't know if it's what I want to be when I grow up, but I think it's a really good career that unlocks a lot of flexibility that allows me to do all the things that I want to do. And then this last week, he just told me that he just applied and maybe he got accepted to go to Latvia and learn how to make houses with axes, like no power tools. You're going to learn how to build a house with an axe. And I was like, there's so many questions that I have around this. Like, is that even a thing? How did you find out about it? Then you applied to go do it and now you're going to go do it? Like, I don't know what that means in terms of your overall life philosophy, but I guarantee you it wasn't baked into your statement around what do you want to be when you were in preschool? Like, just think about that. Like, the idea that you're going to know and have it locked in instead is, you know, like, I want that preschooler to say, life's not a rehearsal. You get one shot at this. This is your life. You can do anything. You can do anything. So have fun thinking about it and have fun. If you're going to fail, failing small and failing forward until you find that fit, you know? Separate out how you're going to take care of Maslow's hierarchy of needs from what do you want to be. And I don't care if you got it right the first time, you're a high schooler and you're like, I'm learning all these lessons and I'm going to get it right. Or you're a mid-careerist that is absolutely loathing your Monday through Friday. There is room to, you know, hit that fork in the road and migrate to better territory. So Jessica, you know, this has really been great and I appreciate you highlighting this stuff just in light of, you know, the conversation that we've had here, this, what do you want to be? What's a framework that someone should take out of this conversation for answering that question?
So I think the first thing to recognize is that no matter who you are and no matter what age you're finding this, that you can be and do whatever it is that you want to do. And financial freedom enables you to do that. So building financial freedom and working toward financial independence, even if you aren't there yet, takes you steps in that direction and can allow you to start designing your life. And then I will share some resources that you can share in the show notes about the process of lifestyle design. So very briefly, there's a, you know, a process of figuring out who you are and what you really want, not what you should want, right? So letting go of what you should want and figuring out who you really are and what you want. And then there's that second step of taking what you learn about that, dreaming big about what the possibilities are. And then you move from the big dreams into experimentation, which we talked about quite a bit in the episode. And then you take what you learn from experimentation, you apply that to who do I want to be and what do I want to do, and then use that to dream even bigger. So it's a cycle that continues over and over and over and over all throughout our lives as we adjust and pivot and, you know, take different steps. And so I love the example of your brother who is trying out all of these different things. I think he's going to have a much fuller, more exciting, and more joyful life than the people who don't take that process. And so I think that's awesome. So I'll share a couple resources that can talk more about that framework and how people can work through that.
And for the show notes for this episode, you can find that at chooseify.com/383. Also just added that Jessica writes at her blog, which is thefioneers.com. So Fioneers is Fioneers, thefioneers.com. Fioneers instead of pioneers, because you're trailblazing the journey to FI.
That's awesome. Jessica, thank you so much. And as Jonathan said, this isn't a dress rehearsal, right? Like you don't have to put off until some future tomorrow. That may never come, right? You can test these things. You can go through that experimentation cycle and understand that things change. And that's a good thing, right? As we say, you can opt out. You don't have to just go along mindlessly with all of these things that we're quote unquote supposed to do. And I just find that so wonderful and liberating. And just thank you for highlighting this.
For sure. Thanks for having me.
All right, my friends, the fire is spreading. We'll see you next time as we continue to go down the road less traveled.